Hey everyone, welcome back to Movie Morning. Monarch Legacy of Monsters, the Apple TV Plus Warner Brothers Monsterverse spinoff, or whatever you want to say, focusing on the organization that is Monarch, that kind of deals with, you know, the conspiracy behind the monsters, how they originated, how long they've been here. All of that has officially ended on Apple TV Plus. Now, this show has been airing over the past, I think, 8 or so weeks. I think they bunched the first few episodes together when they initially aired, and I caught up on it just a couple of weeks ago to be able to watch the final few episodes, maybe just the finale if I remember correctly, as it came out. And I have been very curious to talk about this show, partly because it seems like I'm not fully in agreement with what people have been saying about it, but also because it did actually keep me hooked a lot longer than I was expecting, being that I'm not the biggest kaiju titan movie fan at all. Now, I have enjoyed a good number of the modern monster films. I really enjoyed Godzilla vs. Kong. I liked Gareth Edwards' Godzilla movie. I even enjoyed Kong Skull Island. Did not like Godzilla King of the Monsters, but I think as a whole, the films have just had a very average quality to them that hasn't really stood out. They feel like very much modern blockbusters without anything to really make them pop. And I was really curious to see how what this show was going to be, especially because the reactions and reviews coming out of it from people who got to see it months and months early seemed to be really strong. And Apple TV Plus put out not that much content, but when they do, it seems to really be focused on the quality. So all that combined for a show that I was vaguely interested in, but knew I had to check out because people were talking so highly of it. And like I said, Apple TV Plus, they don't put out too much content, but when they do, it seems like it is really positive. And I've enjoyed pretty much all the Apple TV Plus shows I've ever given a try. And I knew the production was going to be really good because it's Apple. And all that led to me being very curious getting into watching the first episode. Now, the first few episodes, I will admit, took me a couple of weeks to get through. I watched like one episode per week, but I was also like 5 weeks behind, and then finally got caught up, and then I binged like half of the show in one day. I think that's partly because of the nature of the show and the way it's paced, and I'll talk about that in my negatives. But let's get straight into the review. This will include spoilers in the sense that I'm going to be referencing stuff from the show, but I'm not going to be talking about plot points and things too much. So if you are curious to be how this show turned out and whether or not it's worth watching, I do think that you could probably listen to this review without getting too many large spoilers, but I am going to be talking a little freely because I have tons of notes on this. And I will try to avoid talking about any of the spoilers as much as possible because this is a season one of a show, and it is a little unfair for people who just want to know if it's good. So I would say you could probably listen to this, but I will say continue listening at your own caution because I feel like I don't really know how much I'm going to end up spoiling. A lot of my issues with the show do have to do with spoilers. But maybe before I mention them, I might give a bit of a spoiler warning. And it's not going to be like I'm going to be giving out too much about the show. And if you're not that interested in anyways, I think it's completely fine to continue listening. So getting in started, one thing that I really liked about the show right off the bat is that this is a show based in the Monsterverse that actually takes time on its characters and relationships. Now, when it comes to the modern monster movies, the things that we hear the most are there's too many human characters, they're really boring, and they have no development. And with Godzilla vs. Kong, as much as I enjoyed that movie, that was the biggest problem with that movie, and it might have been a bigger problem in there than any other movie, where we had, like, Millie Bobby Brown's character, who, I like Millie Bobby Brown, but I couldn't tell you anything about what she was even doing in that movie. Even Rebecca Hall's character on the Kong side, she could have been more interesting, but it also felt like she was kind of just tagging along, and we kind of just needed humans in it, so that we didn't just have monsters, and the movie didn't turn out to be $800 million in terms of budget. And that's been the biggest complaint about the movies. And when it comes to this show, they actually do a decent job of creating many complex familial relationships that are the beating heart of this show and keep it moving and are actually what drives the emotions in the show and the stakes. And I think it's really impressive they were able to handle that. And I think a lot of the characters and relationships actually grow and actually do a payoff, whether that's between Kate and Kentaro, the brother and sister on the show. They pretty much are the lead characters, whether that's Shaw and Billy and Kay in the fast flashback storylines, or even between a character like Kate and May, played by Kiersey Clemons. And I really appreciated the show was able to make me do that, and I definitely liked a lot of the characters more and more as the show went on. I think that's definitely a positive. I also want to give a quick shout-out to Wyatt and Kurt Russell. Now, these two actors, I think, by far, are the best two actors on the show, and I think it really shows how the character is so much more interesting than everyone else. I think Lee Shaw was the one character on the show who, right off the bat, I was completely invested in, partly because I really like Wyatt Russell and Kurt Russell, who does appear a bit later. And they're playing the same character, but in different time periods. And that character is just so well fleshed out and such a rounded character who has such a complete journey, even though we're going backwards and forwards in time as we're telling the story. And again, I think they're both such likable actors And I just think they're the strongest actors in the show in terms of just, again, being likable, but still having flaws. And I think whenever they're in the show, it really helped the presence. That's why I felt like the modern present-day storyline took a couple of episodes to get going, because I felt like without Kurt Russell there was a real lack of energy and charisma. And once he came in, I thought it really helped. And even in the flashback stuff, I thought initially it was so much more engaging and interesting than the present-day stuff, which is very rare for me in a TV show that I like the flashback segments. And that's partly because Lee Shaw, as well as also Keiko Mira, or then eventually Keiko Randa, are genuinely interesting characters that were introduced right off the bat and actually have likable qualities. They're smart, they can take care of themselves, but also they are played by really good actors. And I think it shows because, again, like I said, I think the flashback stuff was so much more interesting initially. Another thing that I have to mention is that I really like the way the story was told this season. I really love the way they ordered the sequence of events, and I even really like the way that they showed how one of the main characters of the show, without getting into too much, it is in the first episode, actually dies, and then they spend, or at least dies in quotation mark, and then spends the rest of the show still going back and telling stories with that character. And even with that, I thought it was such an effective way to develop that character, because we know where she's going, but and we kind of want that for her less and less. And I think the usage and the order in which it was done, flashing from scenes in the late 1950s, but then going back to the early 50s in the following episodes, it made for a story which was very uniquely told, and it built up a lot of great intrigue. For example, why Shaw is so much younger than he should be and when the show starts, and you really feel that. And even then, a lot of the stuff with Hiroshi, who is the father of Kate and Kintaro. A lot of good intrigue with the plan of the different characters, such as what Tim's doing with Monarch. He doesn't seem like he fully agrees with a lot of the way they operate, but he definitely is on one side when it comes to believing in the Titans or not. And then Shaw, for example, who a lot of what he's wanting to do this season and a lot about his time in between the flashback segments and the present day is a complete mystery to us. And I feel like the way the events were told made it so that a lot of the characters had this air of mystery to them without ever compromising my enjoyment of them. And even then, again, like I said, built up a lot of great intrigue. I feel like this is more than anything almost a mystery show. And there was a lot of really interesting mysteries, a lot I was really invested in, and a lot of payoffs with them that I really liked. And like I said, this is an Apple TV Plus production, and this show actually feels big in scale. And one of the biggest complaints I've had with a lot of comic book shows or other types of, pop culture shows I've covered on Movie Morning is that I feel like the shows aren't shot like the movies are, in the sense that I know shows have to have a smaller budget because you don't make box office off of them, but they feel small in scale, even when you're meant to believe there's this like wide area of grass and this entire natural land that extends like for kilometers and kilometers down. Like, you just never really buy it if they're using a green screen or the volume. And they do use those things in this show, but even when they do, the visual effects are really good for the most part. And when it comes to the monsters, they are absolutely fantastic. But when they do shoot on location, it genuinely feels real and big. And I think Apple TV Plus having a hand in producing this or being the main distributors behind it really helped in that. And getting into the action sequences, like I said, this show really gets you invested in the characters. And the benefit of that is that the action actually has high stakes and you actually feel scared for them. Like, we go into a location that we visited in the MonsterVerse. I'm not going to say exactly what it is. And it definitely doesn't look as good in this show. But with the exception of that one location that we visit in the final two episodes, Godzilla and the Titans, whenever they appear, whenever they're fighting, it looks amazing. And I love seeing those sequences, even when I was able to see them at home. And Apple TV Plus, being, at the end of the day, a tech company a lot of the time, I really liked the surround sound when it came with the show. I do have a surround sound system. And because of that, I was able to, when it came to those monster fights, really get the full immersive experience like you would when you went to watch Godzilla versus Kong or whatever when you went to go watch the movie in theaters. And like I said, I think a lot of that is because I actually did care about the characters. And there's some legitimately intense moments, particularly in the back half. And in the final episode, there's a really satisfying final fight that I didn't see coming for this show because it's not really what this show is about. But I was certainly happy to see it. And I think it also has some really nice connections to the films. I'm not going to say that this is like a fan service fest like a lot of other, pop culture style shows. But I do think that the location I just mentioned and the interesting use of Godzilla, where he's sparsely used, but his appearances are super memorable and they mean a lot towards the progression of the show's story. I think it's very satisfying for people who also watch the movies, but it also means that because it is sparse and the show does build out its own mystery, and all it really expects you to know is this is a show about an Earth where Godzilla exists and we are people who have, lost things because of those events. That's really what the show is about at the end of the day, and I feel like there's some nice connections while still being a good on-ramp for people who have never seen anything inside of this universe. Because this show, more than anything, is about broken characters and broken people who've experienced so much loss that their lives have been greatly affected by that. And I really liked, again, that this show actually made me care about the characters and not just about the big action sequences, which, when they happen, are glorious most of the time, but actually makes me care about the characters. That being said, I do think there are tons of issues with this show, a lot of which are even things about my positives that made it a little worse because there are kind of downsides to each of them. But one of those big things being, I mentioned earlier that it took me a couple weeks to get through the first few episodes, and that's because the pacing of the show is really hit or miss. When this show is in its stride and the mystery is high and a lot of the intrigue is being set up very quickly or being paid off very quickly, it is really fun to watch, and you don't want to stop watching. And I think the wait in between some of these episodes must have been super frustrating because there are some crazy cliffhangers and mysteries that are set up. But I feel like, particularly in the first three episodes, and also in the episode that basically tells a flashback of one of the main characters, Mei, that she's a side character on the show but is given so much time to her backstory. I feel like the pacing of the show was really got kind of derailed because of it. And I do think part of that is because there is quite a bit of melodramatic writing in this show that kind of is very CW-esque in the way that it just over-exaggerates everything. And I think that I felt that the most with the episode that focused on Mei, which I felt just dragged out way too late far into the season. Like I said, it felt kind of CW-esque, and I think that really hurt the pacing when the writing wasn't as strong. And I will say this about the show, I do think the writing as a whole is much stronger as a whole story than it is in individual moments. Like the dialogue, I don't think that anywhere near as good and on the level of, say, the storytelling. Now, interestingly enough, one of the main developers of this show is actually someone named Matt Fraction, who's actually a writer, and he's a comic book writer, and he's written some of my favorite Marvel comics and DC comics of all time. That being said, I think when it comes to this, I think his writing style, I'm not necessarily saying it feels like it was a comic book, but it doesn't fully feel like natural dialogue. And when it comes to comics, I think you can get away with that a lot easier because you're not hearing it out loud. And I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but I feel like the writing for the story and all the mystery and the aspects of Monarch and the flashback were so much more interesting than a lot of the individual moments. And I did think that was a bit of an issue. One of the other reasons why I feel like this show takes a bit to get going is I mentioned how I think I really liked how it spent a lot of time letting us get to know these characters. I do think that some of them take a long time to warm up to, and I think a lot longer than the showrunner and writers intended. And that said, I feel like a lot of them start off extremely unlikable, and the show had a slow start for me, I thought largely because of that, as well as the pacing and some of the dialogue writing. Particularly the two main characters, Kate and Kentaro, I found they were kind of insufferable in the first few episodes, and I understand they both are in a really hard place in the first couple of episodes. But I felt like because the show spent so much time on them and they were constantly bickering and they were just constantly, being pretty cool to a lot of the people around them. Again, like I said, they were in such terrible state because of what had happened to one of their closest family members. But I just felt like because they were such a big focus, I needed the performances to be have a little more oomph to them than they actually did. I think they were a little weak. I even think the actor for Kentaro got better throughout the season. I don't know if that's because because Matt Shakman directed the first two episodes, and I think he's a fantastic director, but I think he honestly directed probably the worst two episodes of the season. I don't know if it's because the director he's working with that got out a better performance with him later on in the season, but initially, I thought the performances were pretty stiff, especially for any moments where they had to show a lot of pain and anger. I didn't really get that in the two actors. It felt very much like a performance, and even then, the writing for their characters, I didn't think made me latch on to them quite as much. And I think that's why, because in the first few episodes, I was so much more engaged in the flashbacks. And another thing I will say is I mentioned the writing a little earlier. I think that this show has just a few too many characters it's focusing on. And I mentioned this in my review of Echo just a couple of days ago as well. But I feel like the show focuses on way too many characters that have a lot of screen time. And even with 10 episodes, I don't think I quite got to know all of them. And some of them felt really wasted. And I feel like the whole plot line about Kate and Kentaro finding their dad, the main driver for the first few episodes and first half of the season, really, until the answer is given to us in episode 6 of what exactly is going on. By the end of the show, it feels like an afterthought and almost felt like a really long and extended side quest that at the end of the day really didn't matter because of how much bigger things were happening on the planet. And even then, with those two characters, and once it actually reveals what's going on with Hiroshi, I think he's really underserved. And I don't think that character is really given anything to work with, despite him being such a focal point over the first few episodes. And like I said, there are some also really weird structural choices in that sense, in terms of when storylines happen. Like, there's a big looming threat to a degree that gets introduced in the back half of the season that, again, like I said, felt like it should have been introduced much earlier with where they were going towards the finale. And the show was definitely, for me at least, I felt unsure of what it was at points, whether that's a full-on family drama or a MonsterVerse spin-off that needs to cram in a bunch of these references, like I mentioned a little earlier. And I think the show is trying to tackle a little too much and with a few too many characters. Like, I could list you the main characters of the show right now, and I'd still probably be missing at least two or three, even though I've watched 10 episodes of this show. And with that, I do think the show can also focus a little too much on intrigue building and avoiding legitimately compelling character beats because of that. The show, a lot of the time, for you to continue watching, doesn't rely on as much as in terms of compelling character beats with, great moments of acting and great dramatic moments. It really relies on you being interested in the mystery of what's going on with Kate and Kentaro's father, but not as much, say, what their reactions to it are. And while I did mention that I feel like they did a good job building up the characters, I just wish that they had more moments to shine in the back half of the season when it got a little more story-driven than character-driven. And it kind of felt like a lot of the build-up with the characters was kind of thrown away in the back half of the season. But I was already invested that because of the lack of those moments didn't quite hurt my experience as much. But I did definitely notice a shift going into the back half of the season that admittedly story-wise made it a lot more compelling. And I do think this show at times does fall into the prequel trap of answering questions I'm not interested in. Like, there's this organization in the MonsterVerse that isn't Monarch, but they would get a bit of a backstory about how they were formed, and I just felt like it was such an unnecessary and ham-fisted element in this show that I feel like was just such a convenient plot point and almost felt to me like a retcon because of the way they're used in the movies. But again, I'm not the biggest expert when it comes to these films. But yeah, I mean, I don't really have too much else to say. That was a really weird and sudden ending to my review, but I kind of felt like I was ending on a bit of a low note, not as much exciting things to talk about. But when it comes to Monarch Legacy of Monsters, a lot of people were hailing this as the best of the MonsterVerse, the best, one of the best shows of the entire year. And having seen it myself, all 10 episodes, I don't really see that. I feel like this is definitely one of the weaker Apple TV Plus shows I've seen. And I think it definitely has a lot of fantastic moments. And I did overall enjoy my time with the show, and I really liked Kurt and Wyatt Russell. I liked a lot of the intrigue they built. There's some really nice connections. I love the big production and epic action sequences and really good moments of actual tension with the monsters and actually developing the characters and taking time in the first half of the season to actually make me like them. I really appreciate that, even though I think they took too long to get there. I just think the pacing, the melodramatic writing, a lot of the characters really being unlikable initially and having just too many characters to focus on and some elements being wasted, large chunks of plot not really feeling like they matter by the end of the season. I think because of all those things, this show isn't quite as good as I think a lot of people are making it out to be. I don't know if that's because they're really inclined to love these kinds of things because they are monsters, or they just didn't see those things, or it wasn't an issue for them, which is completely fine. But I do feel like people are overhyping this show massively. And I've seen, like, a lot of people say they love the show, people that I watch consistently on YouTube. And having seen the show myself, I'm kind of surprised by that. Keep in mind, I'm not the target audience when it comes to kaiju and monster versus, but this show isn't really a show that focuses on those things. It focuses on great characters, and I want nothing more than a great story with great characters. And I feel like this show was close to being really good, but a few too many things, a few, like, a really convoluted plot and character in terms of how how they fit into the story, I think stop it from being great. But I will say, I definitely enjoyed the show a lot more than I was expecting, based off the concept and just focusing on this one organization in a universe that's already established in movies that I don't love. I think the show's a lot better than I was expecting, but I will say it definitely came in under my expectations based off what people had told me in terms of the show is actually fantastic. I'm gonna give Monarch Legacy of Monsters season one a B minus. And overall, I'd recommend if you haven't seen this season yet, I think if you are a fan of Godzilla and you're a fan of the current MonsterVerse, there are nice Easter eggs in there. But just know this is a very different story. I recommend you check it out. I don't think you have to rush to check this thing out. I think you can stream it at your own leisure whenever you have the time. In time for season two, there is a really cool ending to the season that sets up definitely more to tell with these characters, and there are definitely a lot of really cool payoffs in the final few episodes I think you should stick around for. I recommend you give this show a try if you're if you're invested in this universe. I think you will have fun for a lot of it, but I think if you're not, and you're generally not a fan of shows that are a little slower, that again kind of take place in the world of characters you really like, or just monsters in this case, I don't think this show will be fully for you. And keep in mind, I think you should definitely keep your expectations in check. I don't think you should set them too high, but I do think it will be hard to find someone who thinks this is just a bad show. But I'm also surprised by it. I will also be surprised that most people say they watched it and loved it. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, I'll catch you all next time. Bye bye.